From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most: family, freedom, and life. There was an important discussion in the state legislature this week at our Capitol talking about civics and teaching government and American history to students, and a really important victory. We'll talk about that bill updating Nebraska's Americanism law. Plus, we have reaction to the United States Senate vote last week rejecting Senator Ben Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act in what was an incredibly disheartening vote and a disgusting display of partisan politics at our nation's capital. But we still have hope because there's a lot of good, positive things happening for the pro-life movement both in Nebraska and across the country. We'll talk more about that on today's show. But first, a really big victory in our legislature this week. A bill passed the first round of debate to revamp Nebraska's Americanism law, which requires students in public schools to be taught about American history and civics and government, and it overcame an intense filibuster led by Omaha Senator Ernie Chambers. And this was Legislative Bill 399, introduced by Senator Julie Slama of Peru, a first-year senator who was just appointed by the governor, and it cleared the first of three rounds of consideration by the legislature on a 42-3 vote. The vote came after lawmakers voted by the same margin to invoke a cloture motion, which means you end the filibuster and force a vote on the bill. The three no votes were from Senator Chambers, as well as Senators Megan Hunt and Justin Wayne, all three of Omaha. This bill, 399, would revamp a state law dealing with civics education and American government that dates to 1949. The changes are aimed at modernizing language adopted at a time when Americans were concerned about the spread of communism. The bill would require students to be given the opportunity to become competent, responsible, patriotic, and civil citizens. LB 399 also leaves in place requirements for students to learn about American heroes, memorize patriotic songs, and develop respect for the American flag. Schools would also have to hold appropriate patriotic exercises for selected holidays. 2 weeks ago, Senator Chambers provoked a national backlash when he referred to the American flag as a, quote, rag. The comments drew national attention and prompted State Senator Tom Brewer of Gordon, Nebraska, who is a military hero and a decorated veteran, to respond with an impassioned speech about what he said the flag means to most people who have served in the military. Senator Slama, the bill's sponsor, cited several studies showing the lack of knowledge about civics and government among Americans of all ages to make the case for increased emphasis on civics education. And there should be wide consensus on that. I think that is absolutely true. We need to have a greater focus on civics and teaching about our system of government, why it works, why it's important, and instilling those principles that our country was founded on in our youth, making sure they're learning the right things about our country and our system of government. And there's been previous attempts to try and revamp this law that failed. And the reason that this bill passed this year with overwhelming support was a compromise that was struck. Previous versions of this legislation instilled a new requirement that in order to graduate, students would have to take and pass the United States citizenship test. And under the compromise this year, schools have that option from among three options that are in this bill. They can take the naturalization test. Students also have the option to go to a government meeting and write a paper about what they learned and observed, or do a paper or project and present it to the class about a person or events commemorated by selected holidays that are named in this bill, such as the birthdays for George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Martin Luther King Jr., along with Native American Heritage Day, Constitution Day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Thanksgiving. So that bill advances, which is a good thing for teaching civics in Nebraska and educating students about our country and our founding principles and the major events that have taken place throughout our nation's history, right or wrong. so that future generations have a proper understanding of our country that is a constitutional republic. State lawmakers are continuing to work their way through bills in the morning hours while they're in session and holding committee hearings in the afternoon. You can keep track of all of the pieces of legislation that are important to the pro-life religious freedom issues here in our own state. Visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, click on the bill tracker page, like us on Facebook, and sign up for our e-network to make sure you are getting timely and accurate updates on all of the bills that are pending when they're coming up for debate, so that you can contact your senator and make your voice heard on the issues that are important to you and your family. Now, the big news this past week from our nation's capital was the United States Senate defeating Senator Ben Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. We've talked a lot about that bill on this show the last couple of weeks, what the bill does, what it says, why it's needed legislation. And in a tragic vote, the United States Senate rejected that bill. The vote was split mainly along party lines, the final vote being 53 in favor, 44 opposed. So the majority of senators supported that bill, but you need 60 votes in order for it to pass. And it only got 53 votes in the United States Senate to pass a bill on infanticide. And it was just astonishing to me watching and listening to the debate unfold on the floor of the United States Senate, because you would listen to a Republican senator speak, and then you would listen to a Democrat senator speak, and it sounded like they were talking about two completely different bills. All of the reasons that were given for voting against the bill didn't make sense because they didn't have anything to do with what the bill actually does, which is just require that doctors provide immediate care to infants who survive an abortion and are born alive and are admitted to a hospital and given the same degree of care that any other newborn would receive at that point, instead of just leaving the baby alone to die. And the media also really didn't want to cover this bill or this vote. I'm reading from an article right now from Politico, for example, and this is the title of the article, quote, "Senate defeats anti-abortion bill as GOP tries to jam Dems." Senate defeats anti-abortion bill. That's how this bill was cast, as being anti-abortion. It did not touch abortion. It didn't restrict access to abortion whatsoever. All it requires, again, is protection for babies who are born alive after a failed abortion. And apparently, just requiring that basic level of care and human decency for a born living child is considered anti-abortion. And only three Democrat senators voted in favor of this bill. Every single Republican voted for this bill, only three Democrats. And all six United States senators that are running for president on the Democrat ticket voted against this legislation. So this was an incredibly revealing vote, and one that I hope Americans will remember. And again, this vote was taking place after a lot of controversy in recent weeks on a law that has taken effect in New York that loosened abortion restrictions, and the governor of Virginia's comments endorsing infanticide, as well as testimonies of former abortion clinic employees who have been eyewitnesses to this happening, to babies surviving an abortion or being delivered alive and then just allowing them to die. And this bill was important because, as Senator Sasse talked about, you know, it would already be illegal if that child was born to intentionally end its life. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just leaving the child alone to die by itself and not actively trying to make sure that that baby is being kept alive. And so this is how twisted things got during this debate. This is a quote from Senator Brown, an Ohio Democrat, who said, quote, "We're not doing infrastructure. We're not doing health care. We're not doing anything that matters to help our country. It's just votes on abortion and other kinds of divisive votes he's going to bring." So we couldn't vote in favor of this bill because they don't like that Senator McConnell hasn't brought forward other votes on different bills involving issues that the Democrats want to talk about. And again, they're referring to this as being a vote on abortion. Senator Patty Murray of Washington, another Democrat senator, said, quote, "This bill is government interference in women's health care, in families' lives, and in medicine on steroids." Government interference in women's health care. Since when did infanticide and leaving babies alone to die become a part of women's health care? And then there is this gem of a tweet from Senator Elizabeth Warren, who after the vote said, quote, "Republican politicians just tried and failed again to score political points at the expense of women. Enough. Women and their doctors should decide what's best for their health, not the Senate GOP." This is someone who is running to be president of the United States, who justified voting against this bill because this would allegedly put government between women and their doctors. And I don't know, maybe read the bill, see what it actually does, put party politics aside to protect babies instead of relying on these euphemisms and word games that had nothing to do with the bill. And while it's a sad day for our country that we couldn't get this legislation to pass, I am glad that we have a record vote on this bill and our country got to see where politicians stand on this issue. And I hope that people don't forget it. And I'm sure that we will keep talking about this, especially as those who are running for president are out there on the campaign trail talking about protecting Americans and defending the defenseless and those most marginalized in our country, which I think ought to include babies who are born alive after surviving an abortion. Senator Sass, he has been a champion on this issue. He fought for this. He did a tremendous job speaking on the Senate floor and truly being a voice for the voiceless. And following the vote, he was on Fox News with Martha McCollum talking about the vote and what shook down. Here was Senator Sass's reaction.
Your thoughts on your bill, which I know you feel very strongly about.
I do feel strongly about this. This is about the most simple thing you can say, which is that a baby is a baby, and they have dignity and they have worth, and it's not because they're powerful, it's because they're babies. And so today is a sad day in the United States Senate, but I remain hopeful long term, because ultimately the United States Senate today could have a bunch of people, 44 of our members, decided to try to stick their head in the sand and pretend that a baby isn't a baby, but 320 million Americans are going to have conversations around their kitchen table that are going to be more loving and logical. And in the long term, I think that this is going to head in the right direction. But today's a sad day.
Were you surprised? Was there anybody who voted against this that you had spoken to who you thought maybe was going to be on board?
I'm surprised at all 44 people who voted no, frankly, because the way this bill was characterized by the big abortion industry shows how desperate they are, because they just lied constantly about the bill. And we heard, I think, six floor speeches from opponents of my legislation. And I think four of them were filled with just this blatant nonsense that had nothing to do with anything that was in the text of the bill. So I'm surprised at all 44 no votes. Condemning infanticide should be a unanimous vote. It should be a basic human rights issue.
What was the argument? What do you think was the most common misunderstanding, as you would see it, in terms of the way they decided to vote no?
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the people who opposed the bill that spoke against it today claimed that it would end abortion, that it would stand between a woman and her doctor. And I am a very pro-life guy. That is true. I'm unapologetically pro-life. But that's not what this bill was actually about. This bill didn't touch anything having to do with abortion access or Roe v. Wade. This is about babies that had already been born and were alive out of the womb, gasping for breath on a table. And so almost everybody who spoke against the bill just made up stuff claiming that it limited abortion. There were a few people who tried to draw an active-passive distinction about how babies are killed once they're born alive, and they would say things like, well, nobody's taking a pillow and putting it over the face of the little baby and suffocating her. That's true. They're letting them die by exposure, by backing away from the table, the same way the Aztecs and the Greeks used to take babies that had physical deformities and leave them on the mountainside and let them die by exposure.
I mean, it reminds everyone of what we heard Governor Northam him say in Virginia about, you know, after the child is born, there's a discussion that ensues between the doctor and the parent. And I had a guest here last week or so, a young man who was born without arms, who his parents were faced the same exact decision. And he's gone on to live a really full life. But he says that the doctors turned to his mother and said, what would you like us to do? I just want to put up a poll. This is a Marist poll that shows actually there's some interesting movement according to this one poll that shows the pro-life has gone from 38% in January to 47% now in their most recent read. Do you think that number is accurate? And why do you think that change might be happening?
You know, I think the American people are having more interesting conversations around their dinner table than is happening in the United States Senate. The Senate fancies itself the greatest deliberative body in the world, but today there was so much nonsense thrown around. I think one of the most interesting things in the pro-life movement more broadly, and again, to distinguish, today was an anti-infanticide vote. This wasn't really about abortion, but in the pro-life movement more broadly, one of the things you find is that the more people are exposed to sonogram technology and to images of what's actually happening in utero, you know what they find out? That a 3D image of a baby shows a baby. And if you see a baby, you tend to think that a baby has dignity and worth and rights, and that we don't just get to decide to kill a baby. And so I think the pro-life movement is going to be the way of the future because there's more and more images and more imaging technology becoming available.
I think you're right about that. You know, in terms of where this goes next, you know, is there a next chapter for your bill? We rewrite it. What will you do? And also, how much of an impact does this debate that you rightly point out is just getting a lot more attention and people are starting to look at it differently, I think. How much of this plays in the presidential election, do you think?
You know, I don't know. I'm one of 8 people out of 100 in the Senate who's never been a politician before, so I don't pretend to be any good at horse racing or handicapping that. But you had, it feels like a third of the Democratic caucus in the Senate is currently running for president, and almost all of them declared their candidacy by saying they stand for the voiceless, they stand for the most vulnerable, they stand for the weakest and the neediest among us. And today they had a chance to actually cast a vote for those little boys and girls who really are the most vulnerable and the weakest and the neediest among us. And it turned out that was just a whole bunch of rhetoric and a bunch of nonsense about what they actually believed. And I think the American people are going to notice that kind of thing. This shouldn't be about politics, though. This should be far beyond Republican versus Democrat. This should be about having a heart. And if you see a baby, you think a baby deserves care. And we have an obligation to provide care for those helpless little babies. And I think in the future, that's where we're going to end up.
Again, that was Senator Ben Sasse speaking with Martha McCollum on Fox News after the vote. And I wanted to play that because there was so much nonsense going on about this bill that I wanted people to understand what the bill actually does, what was really going on, what was said about it, because this is not America at its best. We are at our best when we truly are standing up and defending the most vulnerable. And like so many people across our country, we believe that that ought to and has to and must include our most innocent and defenseless citizens. But despite this horrible vote, I'm still hopeful because I think the pro-life movement is growing. And I think Senator Sasse is exactly right that there are more important and better conversations happening across dinner tables around our country than the discussions and conversations that were taking place in the United States Capitol. And as medicine and technology continues to advance, so too will the pro-life movement, because the pro-life movement is grounded in science. And we've got a lot of good people out there who are fighting to do the right thing. And one of those people is Senator Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina, who responded on the Senate floor the following day after this vote took place and did not hold back in his comments and really took his colleagues to task for their vote against Senator Sasse's bill. This is what Senator Tim Scott had to say.
But what's frustrating even more than that is that in a nation of good conscience, that we would be debating, having a conversation about a child who is born sitting there alive, separated from her mother, and that there would be a question of whether or not that child should be able to continue to live. This is an issue that has been raised by comments coming out of New York and more recently comments coming out of Virginia when the governor, who happens to be, from my understanding, a pediatric surgeon, suggested that it is okay to allow that child to die. I cannot imagine, whether you are pro-life as I am, or pro-choice like others, that this would be even an issue of debate or discussion within the two sides. There is no side on this topic. There cannot be a side about life separated from the mother, whether or not that life should continue to live. This is common sense. This is human decency. This is not an issue of being pro-life or pro-choice. This is being pro-child, which we all should be. And so I find myself at a loss of words, standing on the floor of the United States Senate, where a vote yesterday failed by several votes, having to discuss what doesn't make sense anywhere that I have traveled. And I will tell you, Mr. President, I have recently spoke in Charleston, South Carolina, to a group during Black History where the GOP and African Americans were in the same room having a great conversation about the issues that are important to our nation. We talked about so many of the powerful issues of economic opportunity and opportunity zones, and there may have been some disagreement on whether we should have higher taxes or lower taxes. But there was no disagreement on the issue of infanticide. There was no disagreement whatsoever. So whether you were left in the room or to the right, there was one thing that was in common, was the value of life.
The value of life. Senator Scott is exactly right. That's what this is about, the value of every single human life. And that is what we are going to keep fighting for, including here in Nebraska. There is legislation and active efforts that Nebraska Family Alliance is leading to protect the value of every life in our state. We're supporting LB 209 from Senator Joni Albright on the Abortion Pill Reversal Information Act that would require those who are prescribing the abortion pill to inform women of the option to, even after taking the abortion pill, to reverse the effects and continue the pregnancy and save the child if they choose to do so. It's all about information, really giving people true choice and a second chance at choice. And there are such powerful testimonies and stories of mothers who have made that decision and now have beautiful, healthy babies because they made that decision to give life to their baby and successfully utilized the abortion pill reversal protocol. And every woman deserves to be given that choice and that information. And that's what this legislation would do. We are also still fighting to make sure that our taxpayer dollars are not going to subsidize the abortion industry by ensuring that our state budget has language protecting against the taxpayer funding of abortion providers. And regrettably, our Appropriations Committee voted to remove that language from the proposed budget bill, but it's not over. They can still reinsert that language, and it can also be amended back into the budget by the full legislature when it comes up for debate. And thankfully, the majority of state senators in our legislature know that Nebraskans do not want their hard-earned taxpayer dollars being taken out of their pockets by the government and given to abortion providers. There are so many important issues being voted on by senators who are put there by the people, by their constituents, to represent them and their values. So make sure that you are in the know when these bills are coming up for debate and that you contact your state senator. I can't tell you how much of a difference it truly does make. They need to hear from you. They have to hear from you. We can't sit quietly on the sidelines. There is just too much at stake, even here in Nebraska. And with your help, we can ensure together that Nebraska is a state where marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. For more information, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and stand with us as we stand for life and liberty at our state capitol. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping that you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connections.